Good morning and welcome to Zeitheist. I'm Josh Gaines. This is my show. You're listening on ShadyPinesRadio.com, the world's greatest community radio. You can chat with me live if you would like on ShadyPinesRadio.com or within the app that is available on the Google Play Store or the iTunes App Store. Go get it. Subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. Hope you're doing all right out there. I'm pondering the fact that existence is pain and that it's hard to know people. It's lonely to be alone. It's hard to be alive, you know? And dying, who knows? Who honestly knows? I saw this movie, The Whale. Maybe you've heard of it. It's been getting a lot of buzz lately for Brendan Fraser's performance, and I was a fan already of Darren Aronofsky. He is one of my favorite directors, I would have to say. The Fountain is a legacy movie for me. That was so important to my creative formation. The Fountain is a beautiful, profound film. The Wrestler is wonderful. Black Swan is harrowing. Pi is fucking rad. All about Hebrew mysticism and numerology. His first film, Pi. Noah kind of sucks ass. Not sure. I don't know. I should probably give it another watch. I only watched it once. Didn't make sense to me. Mother? Oh my god, Mother is hard to watch. Fuck. And, what is the other one? Requiem for a Dream. Also hard to watch. Darren Aronofsky, his movies are not easy. Not for the faint of heart. They portray the depth of human pain. And maybe that's why I resonate with them, because I've been through a fair bit of that myself. And stories about deep human pain are always kind of comforting to me, because they feel like they're communicating something true. Anyhow, The Whale, very good, very well done, very painful, but very raw and true. I never want to watch it again, but that isn't to say it wasn't good and that I'm not glad that I watched it. I am glad I watched it. Hard to watch. By the end, I mean, there's that phrase, not a dry eye in the room, but I think that was actually true in this case. I went and saw it at Cinema 21 here in Portland, and yeah, by the closing scene, and if you've seen it, you know how it ends, everybody was weeping. And it was a good feeling. It's good to cry. I like to cry. So anyhow, I'm excited about my guest today, Anna Molly. I am not even exactly sure how I came across this person. Anna Molly is a porn star. Although that term doesn't feel quite right. She's a sex worker. She is a adult entertainment performer. She has an OnlyFans. She has various other ways to consume her adult content, and she's also on Instagram and posts sexy stuff and normal stuff there. She reads literature on YouTube and just is such a diverse and interesting and creative, cool person. And I had such a great time talking with her, primarily about the porn industry and her experience as a sex worker, and it was really insightful. I mean, I feel like this subject can be taboo for some people, or in the society that we live in, that the idea of pornography, there's a lot of heated discussion or debate or opinion about its moral and ethical implications and how it's created and who these people are who are involved with it. But I would just encourage you to go into this with a really open mind. Anna is so articulate and intelligent in the way that she talks about all of it. So I don't know, I would encourage you to just maybe for a moment set aside any ideas that you might have about whether this is quote unquote right or wrong to do, or like, I'm sure everyone has their own story and background with this, with anything related to sexuality, with how you feel in your own body, your own connection to or understanding of sex and masturbation, and, you know, your ideas about porn. I just would encourage you to just listen and be curious, and that there's no sort of agenda or message or thing trying to sway you one way or another, but just listen in on this conversation with a really insightful person. And she was so open, so comfortable with all these questions, and I had a great time talking with her. So without further ado, here is my chat with Anna Molly. So I'm going to start with what is probably on every listener's mind, which is just, what is it like to be in porn, and how did you get into it? What made you want to get into it? How old were you? All of that. Yeah. How were you drawn to this in the first place?
It's funny because I feel like I kind of like accidentally fell into it, but I've been doing it for like 10 years. I think 2012 is when I officially started. So going on 11 years, but it's also not like I haven't gone down to like the Silicon Valley of porn and done stuff in California. I've done more like freelance stuff since forever. And now that's really common that people do their own stuff and put it on mm-hmm. OnlyFans or, you know, clips for sale even, or like all that stuff is kind of like more normal now. When I was doing that kind of at home, like DIY stuff, almost 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So I had a friend, she tried it out and she was just talking about it. And I think she had been a dancer here in Portland and was looking for options, and someone had her try it out. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. Like webcam at home, do porn, do live stuff. And I tried it out and made a bunch of money, like within the first like 4 or 5 shows that I did, I made a bunch of money. And then she was like, what the fuck, girl? Because she had hardly made, she'd made like $5. Yeah. And she'd been doing it for weeks. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm just like chatting and getting naked and like having fun. Like, I don't understand. And then I looked at what other people were doing, and they didn't look like they were having fun, and like they weren't making that much money. And I was like, oh, maybe I should do this. Maybe it's something I would be good at. So,
whoa.
So I said it's like an accident, like curiosity. Like,
right.
I'll just try it out.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. I wonder if that's kind of a rare story for it to like go that well that quickly.
I guess. Although people that are successful, when you look up like guides on the internet, like, oh, how to be a webcam girl, or how to be a, you know, I'm sure they have them for OnlyFans models and stuff now too. Just be yourself and people will like you. That's their main advice. And that's what I'd already been doing. So I stumbled across like the main thing, which is don't just try to be whatever you think people are going to want to see or want to be, or like, don't try to fake something you're not. Just like genuinely just connect with people and have a good time. And also, like, I don't know, I like sex and orgasms a lot. I think that helps. I think yes. That might be rare too. I don't know.
Right.
I feel like it's normal.
Mm-hmm. It should be more normal. I mean,
I feel like it should.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it feel comfortable right away to show your body publicly and just like, or in that, you know, in that setting, or did you have to warm up? Okay.
No. And I was already modeling before that. So okay. I was already doing art modeling and getting into the art photography. I started off in college filling in for a model who didn't show up for drawing class. Mm-hmm. And I was already work study. I was like schlepping clay, and they were like, do you want to go pose? And I was like, that sounds way easier. And they were like, oh, we pay you more for that.
Right.
I was like, oh yeah. You know, and then I dropped out of college and I just became a model.
Whoa.
So I was already getting naked and doing stuff and just like, getting naked online. I like both of those things. Like, yeah.
And so you've done a lot of the DIY stuff you've mentioned. Have you also done scenes or shoots through other companies where you got hired in or brought into a shoot, or how does that work?
And I used to get flown in, and you used to get like a plane ticket and a hotel room. And then what happened was, I think right about the time I was getting into it, like 10 years ago. So like 9 years ago, it started collapsing because it was really easy to steal content and people were making less money. And then more people were just like, I could just do that myself. And so the whole thing was kind of collapsing. So that whole setup where you would make a lot of money and like they'd have money for a plane ticket and a hotel room. And then you shoot all the, oh, and there used to be makeup artists, you know, just standard. Yeah. And then the type of stuff that I was doing was like, oh, we don't have that money anymore. Can you do your own makeup? And oh, we can't fly you down. So then I'm like, oh, well, if I go, can I still work? You know, and kind of getting in that like, oh, I'm not making money. So then it became even better to do stuff myself at home if I could.
Yeah.
But yeah, that used to be way more money.
Is it just like fewer, the studios just don't have the money that they used to because everything is so.
The ones that I was working with. And of course, there's still like the giant studios and, you know, and a lot of people, they kind of have their people that they work with too. So everybody kind of gelled up for a while there. It's like less money. So definitely work with people, you know. Yeah, it's really interesting. I started at that time also working with more photographers and videographers that wanted to do more like adult themed stuff, but they had never had before. And so they don't have any references to work with other models. So I would work with them for the first time and then be the reference. And then also teach them like, here's some like etiquette and stuff that you should know if you're asking a model to masturbate or to perform sex acts with another model, you know, and kind of giving them that information. So that it in the professional, it's a professional porn set. If they're like, hey, where's your STD test? I need to see it. Like, and, you know, everything's clear. And they're like talking about here's what's going to be inserted where. And they're talking very out in the open. It's professional. And then if it's, you know, somebody's faking it and they're like pretending to be a professional porn director or something when they just are like hemming and hawing and they don't know, like they're not asking directly for what they want. And it's like, just you. Do you want to see my pussy? Like, you want me to bend over? Tell me these things. Like, it actually became much easier. And then there was always photographers who were doing the nude shoots that maybe they want to go further and they didn't know how to communicate that. So they'd be like on the edge. And when I finally jumped all the way into like porn type stuff, it was actually easier because it was like, oh, more communication.
Yeah. Great. What's been your perception of like the, just the people in this industry and their treatment of each other and like the community, so to speak?
It's been really positive. It's been super positive. It's been people that like are so cool and so genuine. I think like I've been on sets where it's not very common to see people like drunk or high as hell. Like I've heard horror stories, but from what I've experienced, especially the ones that have, like the few that I've done in Portland, where it was kind of a bigger set and they'd flown some people in, I believe from Las Vegas, to perform as well. It was, they were awesome. It's like not unusual that a performer will have a college degree that they're just not using.
Sure.
Like super common.
Yeah.
So that's always fun. And like, and you don't know what subject because they seem to know a bunch of stuff, you know, or some like outrageous personalities where they're just like, oh my God, they're so animated. And they have like, it's just, you're a real person. Wow. You're really interesting. Like, no wonder you just want to like stick a camera on them, like at all times, like whether their clothes are on or off. So it kind of like makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. So there are productions happening in Portland, like of that on a somewhat larger scale.
There used to be, I haven't done anything since lockdown. So like the last 3 years, it's been like a blur, but there used to be, but I know one place they were probably not going to be shooting there anymore because they were like selling their property.
Okay.
And so things kind of like, at least people that I knew kind of like shutting down, like, oh, you know, things aren't going as well. We're not making as much in sale. Oh, we downsized. So we have like a 3-person crew instead of a 5-person crew. So that's always difficult. So I haven't caught up. A lot of models disappeared. There's a lot of people on that used to have Instagram accounts that are just like, they're not active. They're not taken down, but they're not active. Like, where did they go? Did they get better jobs?
Sure. Yeah.
No.
So the hub is kind of California though, or like even a couple cities in particular where a lot of the top stuff is made.
I think traditionally like, like Southern California and Las Vegas. And that's where you see like all the major production companies where it's very shiny and very blonde and very
Sure.
Big boobs.
Right.
And there's a lot more niche stuff. Like Portland, San Francisco was really fun. I went down there and it was more niche stuff. Where I think it's funny because like, oh, why would anybody want to see me in Portland? I have like tiny tits. And it's like, oh, well, maybe people want to see the opposite. Maybe not everybody fits that taste. Like there's always somebody that will like what you look like, no matter what you look like.
Yeah.
So like, oh, okay. And it makes sense that in Portland, that's kind of happening. Also, kinky stuff,
mm-hmm.
BDSM stuff, totally makes sense that it's happening here. Huge rope tying community here in Seattle, too.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, there's so many more. There are more niches than I ever knew were possible.
There's so many niches.
Like, I suppose that is to the benefit of people in this industry that, like, almost whatever you do, somebody is going to be into it. It's just a matter of like finding the right audience.
Pretty much whatever you do.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And once you start seeing it, it's like, oh, I cannot unsee that whole niche. I don't shame anybody for doing it, but there's definitely things that aren't for me.
Yeah. Same.
Very interesting to look at.
Yeah, it's fascinating the way that humans express themselves and what people get turned on by. It's very mm-hmm. interesting.
It's an exciting time right now because you can find it and share it and request it.
And I mean, it kind of encourages me that people do want to see the more DIY stuff too. Like there's a time and place for like ultra polished, it looks like a fucking movie, but then also stuff that people shoot on their iPhones at home. Like mm-hmm. I think we like feeling like these are regular people just having sex, and that feels way closer to home than yeah. some impossibly perfect, you know, situation.
Yeah, and I think you can almost pick it up in a sense when people are actually enjoying it too. Like I don't know if it's microfacial expressions or something about the tone of a vocalization that's real versus the fake one. Like sure, people can fake it and sound like they're having an orgasm or look like they're having an orgasm, but I have this feeling that when you're really enjoying yourself, you can tell. Kind of like when somebody's really enjoying playing music and yes. you get into it, you just get drawn into it. And so I think that's what's happening more and more with the DIY.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. There's like a recognition of that human moment. And that's almost like the hottest thing of all, of realizing like, damn, they're really
exactly.
climaxing.
That's the part I think is hot. Like I'm just trying to recreate the part that I think is hot.
Yeah. Right.
But I've seen it with other people too. Like I've done some photo shoots and video shoots where I'm the one holding the camera and those are always the hottest moments where they're
really?
So into it. They've forgotten the camera's there, or maybe they're into the camera being there, but they're totally lost in it. And you can almost feel it when you look back at those pictures, and it's not the few seconds before and it's not the few seconds after. It's like this like electric kind of moment. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So. Oh my gosh. So what have you been in a situation where you had to do a scene with someone that you didn't find physically attractive, or like had a hard time getting turned on by them?
No, because I choose not to.
Okay.
Because I feel like that would affect the content. And that's probably why I haven't gone and just gone on a tour down to, you know, Southern California and Las Vegas and just, you know, just fuck whoever, you know, just apply to all these different things and fuck whoever that shows up that day, because that's kind of how it goes. I just mm-hmm. I could maybe have fun with that, and it sounds like fun, but there's that gamble of like, what if it looks awful? Like even sometimes if you have a photographer that you don't gel with, the pictures might not look as good, and you maybe didn't feel the connection through the camera, and I feel like your audience is gonna tell, so what's the point?
Yeah. When it comes to these model shoots, like when you post a photo set, do you have to pay the photographer and then you make money by selling the photo sets, or how does that work? How do those get set up? And
no,
like
I haven't done
for
that
them?
For the longest time because
oh, really?
I actually couldn't make any money that way. Bless the photographers that are like worth it and then do all that work. But I have had patrons
uh-huh.
pay for that. So
oh,
I started
nice.
On Patreon before they started banning all of the nudes. Man, that was...
Oh, shit. Is that right? Is that still...
They're not...
It
it's not all the nudes. It's just like... If there's too much, but in the picture they'll say it's the focus of the picture and it can't be the focus of the picture. Rules have gotten very draconian and weird. So I feel like I was playing fully within the bounds and then things all are getting tighter and not in a good way. Like running out of space to like operate any kind of adult content platform. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. It's like the goalposts are moving and the whole playing field is shrinking at the same time. But so I had patrons, I had enough patrons that they could cover what I would normally charge a photographer for my time.
Yeah.
I've had photographers that hired me and then very graciously agreed to share the pictures and they actually like showing them off there, or they, you know, they picked the ones they wanted for their portfolio and are like, here's the rest of the pictures. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. But yeah, I can't really do it unless I'm getting paid for my time.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense. Something. I wondered how that worked.
Yeah. So I've always got a side hustle going on. I even had a little cleaning service for a little bit. Like I'll do anything to keep myself busy and I'll be making money. I just prefer doing the art and the photography and the modeling.
So. Yeah. OnlyFans is the kind of the most well-known. Do you do that as well? Do you have one of those?
I have OnlyFans.
Okay. Yeah. And are there other services of that type where people can subscribe, like other than Patreon and OnlyFans? Are there other ones that you use or are those the main two?
I've got ManyVids, which I think I'm Redhead Anna Love on there. I have like, I tried doing an alter ego for a little bit. So I have this little Anna L-U-V.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what it is. I started a bunch of them and then I forgot about them. So I'm kind of rounding them up again now. I've got Eclipse for sale, which some of these services haven't really caught up with how we're using apps now. So when you go on Eclipse for sale, you should be able to just type in my username, right? And find me. It doesn't really work. You have to, like, know the number of my store and I have a bad memory and I don't usually remember the 6-digit number. So I think I put all the links in my link tree on Instagram, which is Anna Molly with the number 4. It's a play on anomaly.
I like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I did not think up, but I stole it. I'm like, that's mine.
Uh-huh. It's brilliant. Yeah. yeah. Clips for sale has been around forever, right? Like early days of the internet.
And
yeah.
I feel like it hasn't been updated in a very long time.
Uh-huh. Right. I know at least one other person in the sex industry, and she will do these services where men pay her to protect. And she like texts with them and pretends to be their girlfriend for a day and things like that. Yeah. Have you ever engaged with any of that?
Girlfriend experience, GFE. Yeah. Yeah. And well, it's funny because I feel like some people set it up in a very like machine-like way where it's like, yeah, just send me money and I'll just do this. But it kind of organically happened to me where I just care about people a lot and I had these fans that became friends very quickly. We were messaging each other and it's like, well, just text me, here's my number, and they're like, well, here's coffee money, you know, I live on the other side of the continent or the other side of the country, here's $20, go get yourself coffee on me, you know.
Nice.
And so it's like, oh, am I doing that? I guess I'm doing that. So yeah, I don't like this whole, like, there's a bunch of like FinDom, have you heard of that, where girls are like, oh, just give me your credit card number and pay me, you're right. Now my personal ATM. I hate that because I'm so afraid of feeling like that when I'm like, oh, I just spent 2 hours doing a photo set, you know, with 100 pictures in it. Like, will you pay me $10? Like, I feel like I'm asking for too much.
Oh, sure.
And they're just like outright just like, oh yeah, just give me all your money. And I'm just like, no, don't make men feel like women do that. They already think we do that.
Sure. How do you, so I've seen like some sets you've posted with other models. How do you keep getting gigs and how do these come about? Like I've seen someone named Gabby and someone named Mel that you've done some shoots with. Like how do these, who sets these up? And
Gabby, I'm going to see her tomorrow. So when I'm shooting up in the Seattle area, I shoot with Chester West. And he knows a bunch of the models up there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we worked together with someone else, some other people up there before too. My friend Dave, who has not started shooting again since lockdown. Some people have started up again. Some people never really quit. So Chester puts together some really awesome shoots. Also, if you saw the one with the smoke bombs where I was outside dressed up with the black lace and the witch outfits, he put that together too. We drove, I think it was over an hour north from Seattle just to do that shoot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just really lucky to been there, to showed up, to not cancel, mm-hmm. which happens a lot. Like we were saying, in this community, sometimes people just don't show up.
Right.
So I think I bragged about that before too. Like I think because I really try not to agree to, like, I still have to cancel every once in a while. I might get sick or have to cancel, but for the most part, if I say I'm going to do something, I show up and I do it, and I try to be as professional as possible.
Yeah.
And that's gotten me so many places. Mm-hmm. Like I've met so many incredible people and like worked with so many like professional level people, like, oh my gosh. And then people already like, and they'll already know my name. So it's like, how nice. Did you, what? I didn't even know what?
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like you're like, you show up and do what you say you're going to do. And like, that's so,
it's such a basic thing.
That should be common sense, but it really isn't.
It's such a basic thing. And like, you know, maybe I don't bring my A game every single time, but at least I'm like communicating and trying and showing up. I mean, especially if this one photographer in Vancouver that I shoot with a lot, he'll just have people just, they won't even bother to cancel. They'll just not show up. And so if you're the first one to show up right after that's happened, you're going to look good no matter what.
Yeah. Right. Right.
It's an easy win for me. Like, I'll take it, but like, it wasn't all me at that point.
Hey, you've been listening to Zeitheist on ShadyPinesRadio.com. I'm Josh Gaines, and I've been speaking with porn actress and model Anna Molly. But we're going to take a quick break for you to hear this announcement about something happening this weekend. Check it out.
Hi, we're Fox and Bones.
Join us and 30 local and national artists at the 2023 Portland's Folk Festival on January 13th through 15th at the historic Miniman's Crystal Ballroom.
We've got Raylan Baxter headlining, along with Ron and Thunderstorm Ortiz, Hillstomp, Haley Johnson, David Ramirez, Eddie Berman, Worth and Strain, Glitter Fox, and many more.
We'll also be featuring some of Portland's best vendors and craft makers with drink specials from Jim Beam flowing all weekend.
This is an all-ages event, so bring the family and kick 2023 off with a gentle folk hug.
Tickets are available at crystalballroompdx.com.
See you there.
Is it exciting to you, or how do you feel about the fact that you know that people look at your videos and pictures and masturbate to them? Is that turn you on? Is that exciting? Or is it just kind of neutral? Like it's just like whatever.
Oh, I've been an exhibitionist forever. So that turns me on. Like as long as I'm like reasonably sure it's like, oh, consenting adult type stuff. Like I don't want people to be subject to it that don't want to see it.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I like that people enjoy it, and they'll tell me too. They'll message me and be like, "Oh my gosh, I love your work," and say actual words to me, not just like weird, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Jumble of desperateness that I get sometimes.
Yeah, I was curious about that too. I'm sure. Have you ever had like, I don't know, an internet stalker or someone who just wouldn't leave you alone in DMs or like creepy
daily.
Things? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I try to be very neutral. I don't let it get to me, and I'll block people really quick.
Yeah. Yes.
But I feel like that just comes with the territory. I feel like maybe like 8 or 9 years ago it bothered me, but like even then I would just banhammer, just kick them out.
Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you, are there things that you haven't been able to do in your sort of career that you would like to do, or to, I don't know, get a bigger following or do different interesting things? I don't even mean sexual acts. I just mean like expand.
I get bored really easily. So I'm always doing new things, but I definitely want to travel more. I've had, you know, like family obligations, obviously. So I feel like in the next few years, once I figure out how to be more mobile or just get like more reliable babysitter situation and that kind of stuff, I'll be able to travel more. And that is what it'll be really exciting, because I know already people that I can work with in England, in France, in Germany, and I stay on good terms with them. I'm straight up honest, like I would love to, but I'm not going to be able to in the foreseeable future. Like hit me back up in 2023 and didn't string them along or anything. So I feel like a lot of those opportunities are just kind of waiting there. Like the East Coast for sure. I haven't even been to the East Coast in so long. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh.
Nice.
So yeah.
Yeah.
No plague. It'd be nice to travel again.
Sure. And so like, I don't know how to phrase this other than just saying it bluntly, because I don't know the terminology, but please know that I'm coming from like a respectful, curious place. Do you still do like, penetrative scenes, or is it more just kind of like model sets that are just nudity and not like hardcore stuff?
I do, the hardcore stuff in the, I haven't done any boy girl scenes in a while, but what's funny is, especially if you're not working with like a whole professional crew or whatever, you might work with somebody and then they never do anything with the footage. So there's ton of footage out there of me that I know people have, along with photos too. Photographers that never got back to me and they never posted it. And a lot of, you know, they paid for it. It's fine. It's whatever. Yeah, they didn't owe me anything, but I was curious. So I know there's like probably the private catalog of what I've done is way more impressive than what's available publicly. But I do stuff with girls too. And it's like, some people, I know this one person who has just like a catalog of stuff that I've done with girls, but he doesn't know where to post it in the last few years because so many sites have taken away the ability to post that, you know, where he can't post things on Instagram without getting in trouble, let alone try to post girl kissing and toy play stuff. So, I think he is making it available for us to post now on our OnlyFans. I think me and Gabby might have some old stuff that we can post, and we don't know where the new stuff is going to go. So that's kind of where it is. I feel like some people are like overly cautious about getting in trouble, and it's like it's newer people that never did porn but now want to do porn. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
None of us know, really. None of us fucking know.
Right.
Like, if we could do TikTok, but the porn version, we'd make $1 billion, but they won't let us do that. Oh, no, I was just thinking about how my first post on TikTok got me in trouble.
Did it?
I was just sucking on a lollipop.
Oh, I saw that. Yes. Yeah. So ridiculous. That was absurd.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like they just single people out to fuck them over, and
there's this girl doing yoga with her whole ass like titties out, you know, and she's not in trouble. Like, what?
Right. Yeah, there's no common standard for what is allowed and what isn't. It's bullshit.
So that's why I think about making another alter ego, but then nobody would know. I mean, obviously you'd have to learn my new whatever, but then the thought of starting over is just like so annoying to me. Yes. Like, oh god,
and building up new accounts. Yeah,
and that's so many girls have done that. And it's obnoxious that they have to.
Right.
And it's their livelihood, so they have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Do sites like, I mean, Pornhub, RedTube, have these harmed people in your position, or have they been helpful, or some of both? Because obviously all the content is free and I know stuff gets stolen.
Yeah. I feel like when it first came out, it hurt the people that were hiring us that thought they had exclusive content.
Yeah.
Because they didn't also hire the cybersecurity people to protect their investment. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was kind of their own fault, but it didn't give them an incentive to hire me again or models where that was happening. Like I used to do a lot of stuff for Yanks, and they just stopped altogether, and they shut it down. They stopped shooting before they shut down the site and stopped operating the site because they were like, it just gets stolen and then we never make our money back.
Shit.
So we can't justify like paying the photographer and the model and the editor and, you know, all this. Like, if we're not going to make even just that small amount, it's already like a 3 or 4 person crew. Like, how small can you get?
Yeah.
So it makes sense, but like, it sucked.
Sure. Yes.
We were doing like VR porn and stuff, like in a stream, and where you can like look around, like me and my friend Belle Fatal for Yanks. And like, that seems so cool, but it was so expensive to edit afterwards, and there just wasn't enough for it. So it's like, that's not the future you get. This timeline's not interested in VR porn from the woods.
Yes. Oh gosh. I'm sure there's some people out there who would love that, though.
I know.
Yeah, some Pacific Northwest VR.
Right? So I've done a bunch of crazy stuff already. Nice. Uh-huh. It's just like other people haven't caught up yet.
Sure. Right. Does someone have to have an agent to get on a shoot with like Brazzers or Vixen or one of the larger, you know, the big companies? And is that of any, have you ever had a desire to work with one of the bigger studios or not really?
I think that is how you get to it, and some of them for sure, and it becomes a lot easier to get better contracts and stuff when you have an agent. But I can never like stomach the idea of giving away so much of the income that I would barely make anyway. And I know some people that were shooting, and it was like their husband had a good job and so it didn't matter, and they you know, didn't matter if they didn't make money. But then I know women that are doing it full time. The ones that are doing it full time seem to be traveling nonstop. Like they're always going to a new city and they're always shooting, and that's their lifestyle. They might have a condo they never visit or hardly ever visit. And it looks like fun, but it's also a commitment to just traveling nonstop. So
With situations like that, is it usually, I mean, you mentioned not making the income, like if you got hired for one of the larger studios, you get paid for that shoot, but then nothing on the back end, or like no perpetual income.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's totally, I can't imagine any of the actors get anything afterwards. It's just very common to get paid and then you're done. You don't have any more input. You don't, you know.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Which means you probably got to be knocking out scenes pretty often. Yeah. Like, or you're already independently wealthy and like it doesn't matter, like you said.
And then, you know, a lot of if they're doing really well, they'll transition into having their own studio or working in a studio to where they can actually have a more stable income without just shooting scenes all the time, and probably make, you know, more sometimes than the actors they're hiring. So it's kind of interesting. I believe that's like, you know, Stormy, and she does her own stuff. Like, she has her own studio. She makes money that way.
Damn.
As well as it's like, oh, that makes sense, because how else are you going to keep making money? You kind of hit a wall of like, I can work this much. And I think if you can make videos and own the videos and then sell the video multiple times, that even if it's like $5 or $10, at least that's something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe it's something I made 10 years ago. If I own it, I can keep selling it today. Which, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would imagine there's people who follow you who get, I don't know, fans who get like an attachment to you. Like, they really love Anna Molly content, you know, and they'll buy anything you put out ever. Is that... Are there a few of those?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's redhead addiction. Redheads kind of have a thing. And then two, like, especially if you make friends with somebody, I don't know what happens at that point. I'm kind of like, I've been blurring lines. I've known people that met me at the very beginning of my career in 2012 that are really, really good friends of mine now.
Nice.
And we chat about philosophy, and they've given me some of my best book recommendations ever, where I'm like, oh my God, I love Cat's Cradle. Like, I knew you would love Cat's Cradle because, like, I can tell by your personality. So it's really interesting, because doesn't really differ that much from my best friend that I've known since I was 10. Mm-hmm. We're texting each other memes and saying the same stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But then there's the people that will just get weirdly obsessed and like tell me that they're in love with me and they want to get married. And I'll say, I don't believe in marriage for anyone. Everybody should force be single forever, and try to make a joke out of it. And it's usually harmless. Mm-hmm. it's good natured, harmless. But yeah, if they're cool, I end up being friends with them.
Yeah.
So I end up nice. With a lot of friends.
Right. Yeah. There's a big community of like, or there's so many strip clubs in Portland and live dancers and performers in that form. Did those worlds cross over at all? Have you ever done mm-hmm. any of that or have an interest in that?
I think the worlds cross over a lot. I am actually quite awkward on stage. And yeah, I have so many dancer friends though. I have really good friends that are ex-girlfriend that's a dancer, all these things. And I used to hang out at strip clubs and I used to want to do that. And so, you know, it's like me pretending in my bedroom that I'm a stripper. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, my friends will be like, well, I could never do what you do. Like, I can't imagine a video of me being out there. At least at the strip club, nobody can take it home. They can't take pictures. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important to them, where I'm just like, I just can't imagine being face to face with so many strangers.
Oh yeah.
A stranger danger anxiety is going to get activated. Like, if you're in a computer, you live in a computer, you're fine. Like, you're on the other side of the screen. I'm just me messing around here.
Right.
So yeah. And you know, there's always someone to do something. I still would like to, but also I'm not that great of a dancer. I don't have that many moves. I'd be telling dorky jokes.
Gotcha. Yes.
We might make money that way. I don't know.
Right. There you go. Maybe like a stand-up comedy stripping situation.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of dancers that have gotten onto OnlyFans and they've become like truly, truly models. Like, they maybe started out and they didn't feel like they were a model, but they're like so kick-ass models now. So it's like they've totally blurred the lines. Like, then they can post themselves getting ready mm-hmm. and behind the scenes, and then they can go dance. They can advertise where they're dancing and do that stuff. So that's amazing. And they get shut down when they do that on Instagram. They get shut down
right.
a lot,
yeah.
which is unfortunate.
Yes.
Because I feel like they should be able to do that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like a lot of women that were making a lot more money when it got shut down. What was it? I forget. Before OnlyFans, I was doing something else and they were like, yeah, we're not going to allow nudes. And Tumblr at the same time, we're not going to allow nudes. And I feel like the women that were making money that lost money from that, they were like donating to good organizations around town and starting their own businesses and helping out other, you know, disadvantaged people in the communities. And it felt so targeted when they were like, no, we're just going to attack sex work right now.
Yeah.
There's like all this shit going on in the world and this government in particular, but we're going to attack sex work. And it's like, oh, you're just going to take away the money from like the women and the non-white people. Okay.
Yeah.
And the disabled people that suddenly were making money being sexy at home. Okay.
Seriously.
It's not suspicious at all.
Yeah. Very targeted. Right. Yeah. Fueled by this like Christian Republican under thread of our country that yeah. is just, I mean, yeah, and all the Christians are looking at porn too. They just lie about it and they feel bad about it.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that will get an instant block from me if they try to follow me on Instagram or something and they have any like super religious weirdness in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not for you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna offend you. I'm just gonna pre-block you for your own benefit.
Did you grow up with religion at all or any sort of like,
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Yeah, same. I grew up at, like down in Southern Oregon in like rural, like west of the rural area.
Mm.
And yeah, I've seen a lot of it.
Okay, right. Yes, me as well.
Different flavors, yeah.
Yeah. Have you always felt connected to your sexuality or was that something that sort of bloomed and like became more open and free over time?
I feel like my friends were more aware of it than I was when I like I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm into that. They were like, oh yeah, like, duh, like, you've been looking sexy forever. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't mean to. I was just like absentmindedly just being comfortable in my own skin.
Wow.
So then, like, yeah, it was weird, like, connecting it to sexuality, because I think partially because the religious upbringing, like, parents just, like, even if they're not overly, like, go to church every Sunday, they're still like, don't talk about sex ever. Right. Like, we never, it's awful. And for some reason, I didn't think oral sex was connected. So I never had any shame around oral sex. This is like, that's not sex. So that's fine, right?
That one got a free pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't find out that wasn't weird until like last 5 or 10 years, like being more open, like, especially in the kink community. Like, I just got into like kink stuff, like around 30, like I'm about to be 38. Like, that's not very long ago. I feel like kids these days are getting into kink at like 14. I was like, no, I was 30.
Sure. Yes. Uh-huh. Did you feel, have you felt attracted to men and women your whole life? Or was that?
Yeah. Which I didn't realize was weird. I remember finding Playboys when I was younger and being like, they're hot. And also, these are funny jokes. And yeah. Reading the comics and looking at tits. Like, I had guy friends. They didn't think that was weird. You know, we climbed trees, we played with snakes, and we looked at his dad's Playboys. And that was cool.
Yes.
I did not see a problem. And then I forget, like, my mom was trying to embarrass my dad or something, just talking about Chippendales, and she's got some like Chippendales playing cards, and she's like, oh, hunky man. I'm like, ah, yeah, sure, you know, yeah, they look good. Like, people in skimpy clothes look good to me either way. Uh-huh. I don't care.
Nice.
Yeah,
this is all so fascinating to me. I love how just like you're so comfortable with all of it and
it feels
easygoing.
So normal to me.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful. And I think that should be more the norm. But we've just been, or at least I certainly have,
I
and much
like
of the country.
Should.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Have just been suppressed and repressed and told
like
that this
to
is.
Not able to talk about it even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Told that it's shameful or dirty or bad or private. And it's just like, why?
Mm-hmm.
I think that causes more trouble actually for so many people.
I think it really does. And especially when I talk to people one-on-one and they'll tell me all kinds of stuff, and it's just like, yeah, no, it's so normal to like feet. Like, feet are kind of sexy. It's weird. You know, like, it feels weirdly good. Like, it's the number one fetish. I think I don't know if it's the world, but definitely in the country,
mm-hmm.
foot fetish is number one fetish. And it's like, I just tried it because I was curious, like, oh, just give it a shot, let's see what does it have to offer. And it was like weirdly erotic, like, oh my gosh, toe in somebody's mouth, I didn't think that would feel good, but it does. Now I'm conflicted, gonna have to do it again just to see
yeah
what it feels like the second time, because right. That was strange. So it's just like, we should be able to at least try stuff. I mean, I've tried stuff that I wasn't super into.
Sure.
For some reason, I'm terrified of giant stuffed teddy bears.
Hmm.
So that kind of stuff, like, I like stuffed animals. Mm-hmm. I have stuffed animals all over my house. But for some reason, and it's like probably not other animals, it's just teddy bears.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I think like I'm in a cartoon and they're going to come alive and kill me or something. But that's one thing. If people want to do that kink, like, yes, have fun with it. I'll take pictures of it, but I am not going to get near that bear.
Yes. Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a very specific one. Hmm.
I know. It's so weird. I know. And one of my videographer friends is like, I've seen you put various things up your butt and you have a problem with the giant bear. I'm like, well, I just got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I just gotta say, I don't know what it is, but
right.
It freaks me out.
Yes. Gosh. The thing about, yeah, foot fetish is so, because I feel like that has both become a meme, but it's just like, I think it's a meme because so many people are into it and maybe even not being honest about the fact that they're into it. And it's just like, I've come to a point where I feel like instead of focusing on the quote unquote sexual hotspots on the body, genitals and breasts and ass, that it's just like all of the body is can be really nice to touch, and like,
yeah,
both to give touch and to receive touch and just feel it all. And if, and a lot of, yeah, I don't know, just having more appreciation for like these bodies that we're in.
Yeah, I think I've been noticing that as well. It's like, you know, it'll be like, whoa, the back of like the middle of my thigh above my knee feels good. Mm-hmm. And weirdly different than the inner thigh and weirdly different than the outer thigh. And just kind of like appreciating that. It's so, for some reason, rare.
Yeah.
But like, at least we're getting into it now. It's like massage, like I appreciate professional massage. But what if we all just like did that all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Like I like professional music. What if we just all did music like all the time, or art all the time? Like,
yes.
It seems like a human thing.
Right.
Might be something to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Truly. You've been listening to Zeitgeist on ShadyPinesRadio.com. I'm Josh Gaines, and you've been listening to my conversation with porn actress and model Anna Molly. Let's take a quick word to hear from one of our sponsors.
Since 2011, locally owned StickerNinja.com has been your place to get high-quality, water- and UV-resistant stickers. From classic bumper stickers and bulk labels to die-cut hologram stickers and more, in any shape or size, Sticker Ninja's got you covered with free domestic shipping, and if you use the code SPR10 at checkout, you get 10% off your order. With StickerNinja.com, your vision can be a reality, and the code SPR10 makes it an even greater deal. Go to StickerNinja.com and use SPR10 today.
Sticker Ninja!
You mentioned that you have chronic illnesses. Did this develop more recently, or has it been with you for your whole life?
I just got diagnosed with stuff recently that I've had my whole life. So last December, I got a positive test for celiac, like the reactionary whatever. I forget all the details. It's a specific reactive thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting sick when I was 7. So I'm like 30 years late. Okay. I was given several other diagnoses that turned out to be incorrect. And just, it's been so frustrating. And so I just lived for a long time not knowing and just like not acting like I was chronically ill.
Yeah.
And so it was weird when I finally started to realize at like 24 or 25, like, oh, other people aren't in all this pain all day long and have to just slug through it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's difficult. Maybe it's not like my brain is, you know, crap. Like, maybe there's other stuff going on. And then having been looking for so long and not finding any answers, like, I'm not surprised people are frustrated with doctors. Like, they don't have much to work with.
Right.
So.
Right. So, and celiac is a severe reaction to wheat and gluten, or is it, does
just
it touch
gluten.
More?
Okay. It's just gluten reactive. And it's kind of like an allergy, but it's not the histamine response like normal allergy. So it's like a C-reactive protein or something like that. It's very incredibly specific, they have a chart of like how bad it is, and they were like, we stopped counting it like 500 on this chart, and you're over 500. Like, oh my god, wow, I didn't know this. Like, I wasn't really eating wheat, but I was sharing a toaster, and they were like, yeah, no, you're making yourself sick from that. So I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had several doctors tell me I wasn't experiencing enough pain to actually warrant that test. Like, I definitely didn't have celiac because I wasn't in enough pain.
That's a nice thing to hear.
I believed that for so long. So it's interesting. I actually meet a lot of models that have very similar health problems where they have got unexplained this or that. They've got pain, they're weak. They might know it's like autoimmune related, mm-hmm. like I knew for a long time, and I might have other things that I don't know exactly what they are. It's definitely an autoimmune problem. And I feel like we find each other in modeling a lot, and I'm not sure why exactly. I don't know if it's because we're trying to have more fun in the time that we do have that is not in pain.
Yeah.
Or we're way more aware of our bodies because we have to deal with bodies that are in pain. in that are difficult. So it's like, oh yeah, I can do this. Like, I can walk in heels. Like, it's not going to hurt me that bad because that, what do I have to deal with every day? So I don't know, but, or maybe the flexibility too, because I'm self-employed and I can say I can take an entire week off because I'm going to be sick for an entire week.
Yeah.
So yeah, weirdly found a lot of people in art.
Yes. So with control of diet, are you able to keep it relatively like stable, or do you still experience some effects in your bodies no matter what your body?
It stabilized a little bit more, but there's still something going on, and I developed a bunch of allergies, I think, not knowing that I was sick. I was just like, I'll just keep eating everything, because I didn't know. And you can develop allergies too. So I developed some in my late 20s, and so it's mostly diet control at this point, but you know, random stress can just set me off too.
Sure.
That's supposed to be autoimmune related, but they don't really know. They kind of put you in this little box of symptoms. They go, yeah, everybody in this box we say has autoimmune disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And they all react differently. They all react to different foods, to different triggers, to different stressors, to different parts of the body might be inflamed. You know, like one of my friends, it's her joints that are affected. I'm fortunate I don't have that, but mm-hmm. mine, it's like my entire digestive tract. Okay. It just attacks itself. I don't know.
Damn. I know. There's so many catch-all categories that are just a way of doctors being like, we don't know, and like, we can't help you, so kind of go away. I mean.
It very much feels like that.
Right.
Or I've been given a lot of medicine. I started looking up medicine. I have a huge dairy allergy, so they wanted to give me this different type of pain medication or something. And the first inactive ingredient is a derivative of milk. And I'm like, well, that's going to make me very sick. I'm going to break out in hives if I take that. And the doctor wouldn't listen to me. And I'm like, look it up. Like, I found it on Google from Canada's drug website, because they don't publish that stuff. You know. But I found the same drug in Canada.
Right.
And it says the first inactive ingredient. And man, doctors don't like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, those arrogant pricks. So you've been... You on your YouTube channel, you've been doing these live readings sometimes of just like sharing or reading a chapter from what you're currently reading.
That was fun.
What brought that about? I mean, you obviously have a love of literature, and
I don't know. I think I was wanting to read to one of my friends who lives on the other side of the country, and I hadn't done any live video in a long time. Like, that's kind of how I started. It was like webcam live video. And so I was like, oh, I got a new phone that can finally handle live streaming. Let's do this from the phone and see what happens with YouTube Live. And it was really fun. And then some people caught it later and watched it. And then they hit me up on Instagram and were like, I actually really like that. You should keep doing that. And so I read the entire book, Stations of the Tide, which is a really good book. I really love that story.
Nice.
And so I think that comes across, like I was saying, like, if you really enjoy something, you just kind of get people fired up about it. And it's very sci-fi, very kind of like has a fantasy almost element to it, but it's like hardcore sci-fi. So
nice.
I like that a lot. And there's like sexy parts. So... My YouTube got shut down to be 18 plus at the very beginning of lockdown. I was starting to go, one of my videos was starting to go viral and like take off. And then my whole channel got shut down. The video got yanked, but then got reinstated, but then nobody could see it.
God damn it.
And I was just talking, I was like talking about porn or something, you know?
Yeah, it was just a conversation,
industry,
right?
Or
you were just talking about it. It
fully
wasn't even
closed,
anything. Yeah.
Just me commentary.
Such
and
bullshit.
Then like, yeah, that's not appropriate for under 18. And then they slapped it on my whole channel. So then I was like, fuck it. I get to say what I want.
There you go. That frustrates me so much. I hope that changes. Because I feel like it's
so
always the people, it's like, the people who are already making tons of money and have a huge following, they don't get shut down. But
no,
the people
yeah.
who are like scrappy and trying to hustle, yeah, these services like fuck them over for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget what I was just reading the other day. Someone was supposedly like, oh yeah, shadow banning actually was real and they were lying about it. I need to look into that. See if that was true. Cause I feel like the shadow banning was happening for real. Like, I'd go to find friends' channels and I couldn't.
Right.
And I was like, feel like shadow banning has to be real, but people are calling me crazy. What's going on?
It definitely seems to be real. Oh, yes, I've known people that it's happened to as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gaslight's the word of the year this year, mm-hmm. for one of the dictionaries.
There's a lot of that going on in many different forms.
Oh my God.
Where would you like to send people to find your stuff?
Well, I think Instagram is the most work safe. If you want something work safe, it would be Instagram/Anamolly, which is 4NAAMOLLY. And then I believe I was able to do the A on OnlyFans. So it's OnlyFans/ANAMOLLY. Anamolly. There's Patreon/ANAMOLLY. And on YouTube, good luck if you can find me without a link.
I'll link all those in the show notes so it'll be easy for people.
Cool, yeah. Beans.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. How fun. This is marvelous. I like your comfortability around all this stuff is so nice to me. Like, I feel like I could ask you anything and you wouldn't be offended by it. So,
well, and thank you for being open to that kind of conversation too. Like,
yeah. I think it's important and like it needs to be heard and it should never have been taboo. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It really surprised me. Like things were opening up so much and for us to go in this prudish direction for me as a teenager, would be really fucking shocked. Like me as a teenager, we're like, no, things are going to get sluttier forever. So I feel like we'll break back through and the sluts will win and we'll free the nipples.
Yes. The sluts need to win.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Anna. This has been wonderful.
Have a good one.